One of the reasons why we meditate is to give the mind a good solid foundation and sign for its happiness. We live in a world where we're dependent on a lot of people, a lot of different relationships. And if our happiness has no other foundation than relationships with others, it's going to be very unstable, very undependable. So you need an independent source of happiness, an independent foundation for happiness inside. The Buddha says you should make yourself an island. The image he has is of a river in flood. Everything's sweeping past, changing, changing. But on the island, you're safe. And you do this by establishing mindfulness inside. The breath is a good place to do this. As long as you're going to be alive, you have the breath. But you need more than just the breath and a sense of well-being inside. You also need right attitudes. One about how true happiness can be found. What really is worthwhile in life, as the Buddha said, you develop good qualities in the mind. Those are your treasures. Those are the things you can take with you. So have a clear sense that the good qualities you develop in your mind, those are your most important possessions. Those are the things you should focus on. As for the things of the world, they change. Beings change. The human mind, the Buddha said, is so quick to change direction that there's no adequate analogy for how fast it can be as it changes direction. Now, he doesn't say that the things we depend on outside are totally worthless. He recognizes that as human beings, we need to depend on others. Others will be depending on us. So it's not just a case of saying, well, don't be attached out there. There will be attachment. Just know that wherever there's attachment, there's going to be some suffering. And then he gives instructions on how to not suffer too much from our attachments to others. We see this at the monastery most poignantly. Sometimes there are people coming to commemorate the death of a loved one. At the same time, there are people coming in to celebrate the birth of somebody new. It pulls in both directions. You realize that wherever there's birth, there's going to be death. Wherever there's death, there's going to be rebirth, as long as the mind is ready to keep on going on. So the question is how not to suffer too much from these things, and to keep the full story in mind. That wherever you have a new relationship, there's going to be an end. You have no idea when that's going to be. But it's best to see that as an end of a chapter rather than the end of a book. As the Buddha said, if you go through the world, we've been through this cycle of rebirth so many times, so many different configurations, that it would be hard to find someone who hasn't been our mother, hasn't been our father, our sister, our brother, daughter, son, in that long, long time. And wherever there's attachment, there'll be, it's like a rubber band, you keep getting pulled back. So you want to get pulled back in a good way. You want the relationships, as long as they last, as long as they have meaning, to be good ones. So the Buddha doesn't just say, don't be attached. He says, actually get the most out of these and give the most that you can so the relationship is beneficial for both sides. Lots of different teachings he gives on this topic. One of the most universally useful is a list of 6 for how people can get along together and benefit from their relationships. It starts with 3 instances of goodwill. Goodwill in your thoughts, goodwill in your words, goodwill in your deeds. The Buddha could have said, well, just have goodwill for everybody. But he wanted to emphasize the fact that goodwill is not just a mental attitude. It has something that has to inform the way you speak to people, the way you deal with people. You think about their happiness. You realize that their happiness will have to come from their actions. But you're happy to help them see what kind of actions are skillful. This is where we get into the other 3 qualities. One is generosity. You're generous with your time, generous with your knowledge, generous with your forgiveness. Be a good example. Helping people see that what's really meaningful in life is not so much what you get out of it, but what you give. There was a famous Ajahn one time who said, in the practice of the Dharma, it's one thing clear through. And it's basically giving. We have these resources inside that we develop by giving. Goodwill is an example. You can generate as much goodwill as you want. And it's not like money. With money, if you print a lot of money, the value goes down. But with the goodwill that you can generate from within, you have to make it independent of other people's goodness. It can't be the sort of goodwill that says that if they're good to me, I'll be good to them. You want to be skillful in how you deal with everybody. And it is possible to do that. Again, this is when it's important to have a practice of meditation where you can have these inner resources, get some strength. The other two qualities are virtue and right view. As the Buddha said, these are your most important possessions. You can lose other things. You can lose your wealth, you can lose your health, you can lose your relatives. He says that's not nearly as serious as losing your virtue and losing your right view. Virtue, of course, is learning to behave in ways that you don't harm other people. You don't lie, you don't steal, you don't cheat. These are principles that you want to teach. If you have children, you want to teach your children. So they have a sense of what's really right and wrong in life. And as for right view, means basically seeing that your actions really do make a difference. What you're experiencing right now is influenced to some extent by what you've done in the past, but not totally. In fact, a large part of what you're experiencing right now is based on intentions that you are generating right now. So you have some power through your actions. So learn how to use that power well. All too often when we hear the teaching on karma, all we can think of is punishment, some bad fate coming in from the past. But when the Buddha talked about karma, the two things he talked about were generosity and gratitude. The fact that people have choices in the present moment means that when they give something, it really does mean something. It's meaningful because they had the choice not to give, but they chose to give. The same with gratitude. If someone has helped you, you realize they had the choice not to help you. But they did help you. They went out of their way. And you should appreciate that. This is a value that children should be taught, especially very early on. Our lives together as human beings depends on the help we get from other people. We should fully appreciate that. And when you appreciate the goodness that other people have done, the things they've had to do to go out of their way to help you, you might be more inclined to go out of your way to help others as well. So these are six of the qualities that the Buddha teaches about how to get along. There are many other lists as well. And when you embody these qualities in your relationships, you're helping yourself, you're helping the people around you. This way, no matter how long that relationship lasts, it's going to be a worthwhile one. Not just one of happiness and sadness as you get together, as you leave one another. You leave one another with a sense of having benefited and having done good for the other person. So there's a lot less regret. Because relationships do end. That comes when I said that when you have people coming in celebrating the birth of a child, other people are commemorating the death of a loved one. And they all go together. And the Buddha said, when you have lost somebody, the first thing you should remind yourself is that you're not the only person who's losing a loved one. Anyone, wherever there's birth, there's going to be aging, illness, death, separation. This is happening all over the world. Now, this is not to belittle your loss. It's just to make you realize that the universe is not dumping on you. And also, it's meant to give rise to a sense of compassion in your own heart. You see that you're suffering from this loss. Other people are suffering from similar loss all over the world. You probably know the story. It's in the commentary of the woman whose baby has died. And she won't accept the fact that it's dead. And Buddha says, well, find a mustard seed from a family where there's been no death. So she goes around and asks for mustard seed. Now, mustard seed is one of the cheapest things you can get in India. And people are happy to give the mustard seed, but then she asks, oh, by the way, has anyone died in your family? Well, yes, lost an uncle, lost a father, lost a sister, lost a child. Sen finally realizes, okay, this happens all over the world, and she accepts the reality. So that's the first thing you should do, is think about the universality of loss. And then you express your appreciation for the person who's passed away. Here the virtue of gratitude comes in again. You want to reflect on the good things that that person has done, not only for you, but just the good qualities that person has embodied. You want to do what you can to make sure those good qualities don't die from the world. Then finally the Buddha says there comes a point where after you've expressed your grief and expressed your appreciation, you have to realize that life still has to go on. And the good things of the world are still there. All too often when we lose someone who's been especially close to us, it seems like a part of us has been torn out. We don't know how we can continue living. But as the Buddha told Ananda one time, when Ananda brought the news that Sariputta, one of the Buddha's disciples, had passed, Ananda said he felt really like he'd lost his bearings, hearing that Sariputta had passed away, because he owed so much to Sariputta. And the Buddha asked him, did Sariputta take virtue with him? Did he take concentration, discernment, release? These things are still available in the world. So you realize that there's important work that you have to do, and you keep on going. And again, the work will involve other people, and you try to embody those good qualities as you can. Now, there may come a point where you've decided this cycle of going on and on like this, gain and then loss and then gain, again and again and again, becomes to seem fairly meaningless. After all, you look at all those people that you walk up past on the street, you remind yourself, this person used to be my mother, but now it has no meaning at all. What was meaningful at that point has now gotten so far away. They were strangers now. When you look at things in this way, the Buddha says, that's when you give the desire to gain awakening. So he does point out the drawbacks of being dependent on one another. But he doesn't belittle them. Belittle the worth of being dependent on one another, the good things we can do for one another. That list of six qualities is only one of many that the Buddha gives. So look at your relationships as an opportunity, not so much to base your total happiness on the relationship. No relationship can bear that weight. But it's an opportunity for you to do good for others, and you'll benefit from the good you've done. They'll benefit from the good you've done. So when the time comes to part ways, you can do it with a minimum of self-recrimination. I lost a member of my family last year, and his wife, her first reaction was, I said some horrible things to him the last week of his life. I really wish I hadn't. So think about that. You never know what you say to somebody. It may be the last thing you say to them. So make it a memory that you can look back on with a sense of joy. The joys that come from relationships do have their limitations, but they are genuine. When you can keep both of those in mind, and the Buddha talks about the happiness of relationships, our relationships to our inner well-being as opposed to the well-being of others, as a balancing act. So keep things in balance.